Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, looking at the second commandment, which has to do with making images, bowing down to those images, and also serving those images. And we've shown how this goes much, much further than simply the what most people think of, statues, and goes much further than that. In verse 5, there is the prohibition, nor serve them. We see three things. Verse 4, thou shalt not make. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow. Verse 5, nor serve them. Again, in all the Ten Commandments, whatever the prohibition, the opposite is also implied, which of course becomes a requirement of the command. If we're not to serve these idols, then we are to serve God. The Lord is basically saying here, thou shalt serve me. When he says, thou shalt not make, he's saying you're not to put anything ahead of him. And thou shalt not bow, you're not to bow to anything other than him. He's the master. Thou shalt not serve. In other words, thou shalt serve me. And we saw a few weeks ago when we looked at this, we saw that we are called, of course, to serve God. People have some strange definitions of service to God. I believe the Bible is really pretty plain concerning service to God. Service to God, of course, it must be something that God requires. It must be done God's way. If it's done our way, it's not service to God. It's self. So it has to be done God's way, which means it has to be done the right way. Many, of course, believe and will say things like, well, it may not be exactly how God would have us to do it, but we're sincere. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. Sincerity does not replace God's will, does not replace the requirements of the Lord. So the Bible is very plain on how we're to serve God. And when we look at the requirements of serving God, we must all, with the publican, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because we come to realize that we serve the Lord very little. Very little. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, we've already looked at these verses, just way of review. We're so serve God with all our heart, with all our soul. I don't know if that ever happens in our life. All our heart and all our soul. And if one is very quick to say, oh yeah, I do that, I doubt that you've really thought it through. All our heart, all our soul. We're to serve God in that way. I believe we fail. But I believe that's, again, Jesus Christ is our advocate. We're to serve God in sincerity and in truth in Joshua 24 and verse 14. And sincerity there is not how you and I would normally think of sincerity. It's that which is unmixed. It's pure. In other words, God is to be our one and only focus. Sincerity, unmixed. unmixed from self, unmixed from the world, unmixed service. Again, I doubt seriously that that's ever completely true in our lives. We serve Him in truth. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, we're to serve Him with a perfect heart, which goes along with a sincere heart, a pure heart, and a willing mind. Perfect and willing. Psalm 2, verse 11, we're to serve Him with fear, with reverence. And then in Psalm 100, and this is where we left off, in Psalm 100 and verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. This is manifested, come before His presence with singing. Serve the Lord with gladness. There's no stipulations put upon it. Well, what if circumstances change? Serve the Lord with gladness. What if something happens that we don't like? Serve the Lord with gladness. Nothing changes that. We're to serve the Lord with gladness. And if we just got a glimpse of how unworthy we are to be allowed to serve God, you couldn't help but do it with gladness. Well, what if it's something that we would prefer to do something else? Serve the Lord with gladness. As we get older, and you don't necessarily have to get older for this to happen, but things change in our lives. We enter into different chapters in our life. There may come a time when we cannot serve the Lord in the same capacity, in the same position that we did before. So what are we to do? We're to serve the Lord with gladness in whatever capacity that might be. Again, the day may come where we can no longer physically or mentally do the things that we do today. But the Lord will have something else for us to do. And whatever that is, we're to serve the Lord with gladness. Now I realize that these things are much easier said than done. But this is what the Bible teaches. We are to serve Him with gladness. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, very familiar passage of Scripture. And anyone who has served the Lord any length of time knows how necessary this is, of course. And verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in Him. We serve with steadfastness. That immediately implies that there is opposition. There is opposition. You do not have to be steadfast if there is absolutely no opposition whatsoever. There is opposition. The opposition is not only from outside. The opposition is from inside of us. But we're to serve with steadfastness. And we're to abound in the service of God. That is, we're to be increasing. We're to be fruitful in the service of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 17. And again, this is something that needs to be grasped. Verse 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. If you go back in the context there, beginning with verse 5, he's talking about servants. Serving their their masters. And what he's telling them is, whatever service you render to a master, whatever your position is in this world, you're to serve the Lord. You're to serve the Lord in everything that you do. One child of God may work in a factory. One may deliver mail. One may drive a truck. One may work in a store. One may own their own business. On and on we could go. But whatever our position, we must realize that we have been put in that position to serve the Lord. We are to serve the Lord through that position. And that's what he's teaching these servants. Again, we may have times in our life where we have to work a job that we do not particularly care for. It's not a job that we would have necessarily chosen, but that's where we are. We're to serve the Lord in that job. The people we come into contact with through that job is no accident. There's no just by chance happening. It's all been arranged by God. And so we need to look at our career or whatever, our workplace, as a means to serve the Lord. We're to serve the Lord in everything that we do. And then Hebrews 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby, that is by grace, we may serve God acceptably. You and I, within ourselves, cannot serve God acceptably. Whereby grace we may serve God acceptably. God can be served. That ought to thrill us. And God can be served acceptably. But it takes the grace of God to serve Him acceptably. And then we see this acceptable service is with reverence and godly fear. It is with reverence. That is, it is with respect to God. It is not with respect to ourselves. It is with respect to God, and it is in godly fear. That is, there is a carefulness that we do it God's way that goes along with the reverence. So we are to serve God in everything we do, and we see several characteristics of that service. So the commandment says that we should not bow down to these idols or anything else that we put in the place of God that becomes an idol. So what God is saying, that what is implied there, is that we are to serve Him. And we are to serve Him only. Now, in all true service to God, there must be a recognition. There must be an acknowledgement of Him as Lord and Master. That has to be there. We must realize that He is the Lord, that He is the Master in all true service. Also, in all true service, there must be a love for Him. We serve God out of love. Again, it's a horrible existence for someone to be trained to serve God, because if you don't, this is going to happen. That's a horrible way to live. A wonderful way to live is to serve God because you love Him. And the more you recognize who God is, what God has done, the more you love Him. And loving service is a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I don't believe that we are to serve God with fear. I've got to do this, because if I don't, He's going to let me have it. That's a horrible way to live. But we're to serve God because we love Him. And this love has many characteristics, and we're certainly not going to go into all of those. But first of all, it has to be entire. Again, going back to Deuteronomy, we're to serve Him with all our heart, with all our soul. But notice in Mark chapter 12, and verse 30. Mark 12, verse 30. Jesus said in verse 29, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." This is the foundation. Love to the Lord. All true service to God proceeds from love to God. And that love is to be entire. It's to be complete. It's to be sincere. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6 and verse 24. "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." In sincerity, which again is unmixed, which gets back to that love being entire or complete. It's an active love. Anyone can say, "I love the Lord," just like anyone can tell you that they love you. But love is a verb, and love shows itself in action. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3 says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love." And labor of love. A work of love. And all service to God ought to be a work of love. Service to God should not be, "I'm going to go ahead and do this, because if I don't, what are people going to think?" That's a horrible way to live also. But "I'm going to do this because I love the Lord." A labor of love. Everything we do in the Lord's service ought to be a labor of love. And every now and then we need to stop and we need to examine. Is it a labor of love? Or is it a labor of something else? So in all true service to God, there must be this love. This is why Jude said, "Keep thyself in the love of God." In all true service, there must be a cleaving to God. Notice in Joshua 23. Joshua chapter 23. In verse 8. Joshua 23, verse 8. "But cleave." He's in his elder years, making his last two speeches to Israel. He's talking to them about serving the Lord. That's seen in the previous verses. He says, "Cleave unto the Lord your God." Cleave unto the Lord your God. To truly serve God, you must cleave to Him. Can you go through the motions of service without cleaving to Him? You certainly can. It becomes mechanical. When you cleave to Him, that love remains intact, and it's cleaving to Him that we perform a labor of love, and cleaving to Him, we're not dependent upon ourselves, we're dependent upon Him. In all true service, there must be a cleaving to God. Now, to cleave, you have to be close. What many fail to realize is that it is very, 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 very possible, not only possible, it's likely, to, in our service to God, become detached from the Lord. And if so-called service to God, there's a detachment from God. I mean, in one's wildest imagination, that can't be considered service to the Lord. So we have to remain close to God if we're going to serve Him. It's very easy to just become like a robot and not really be attached to God, but rather detached, and yet still go through the motions of serving Him, and people will look and say, wow, there's a real servant of God. But God knows better. There has to be a cleaving. There has to be a cleaving to the Lord. In all true service to God, there's consecration, there's submission to the Lord. In all true service to God, there's a knowing of His will. You can't serve God to the disregard of His will, because it has to be done in order to... It's just like the individual that asks you, can I help you in any way? And you tell them a way they can help, and they do just the opposite, because they want to do what they want to do. And it ends up not being a help at all. In fact, they've added to your burden. So there has to be a knowing of His will. What would God have us to do? And then, of course, we must do that, whatever that is. Notice in Psalm 143 and verse 10, Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. That needs to always be our prayer. Now, we need to know His will. And then we need to be taught to do His will. For thou art my God. That's the reason that we ought to want to do His will, because of who He is. So there needs to be a doing of the will of God. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, along those same lines, Ephesians 6 and verse 6, not with eye service, again he's talking about servants, not with eye servants as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. To do the will of God, whether it be on the job, wherever it might be, we are to do the will of the Lord. And then, of course, in all true service, there must be obedience. You cannot serve God and disobey Him. There has to be obedience. We see this in Joshua 22, verses 2 and 3. We see Christ telling the apostles that if they love Him, keep His commandments. Service to the Lord involves obedience. And this obedience is to be undeviating. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 14. It's to be constant. Philippians 2, verse 12. So when the Lord says here in the second commandment, nor serve them, He is saying, serve me. And in saying, serve me, He is saying all these things that we've just mentioned, plus many, many, many more. Next week we'll finish on the second command, we want to see some motives in obeying the command. We see this in verse 5. It says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." In those words, God gives us some motives for obeying these commands. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your commandments. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand them more each and every day. Help us, Lord, to get some grasp of the scope of thy commandments. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship you this day, that you'd help us. Help us, Lord, to worship you in a way that would please you, a way, Lord, that would glorify you and exalt you. Lord, we do pray for those that are lost. Lord, that you would open their hearts to salvation. Lord, that you would perform a miracle upon them this day. Lord, we pray for each of us that are saved, that you would just draw us closer to thee this day. Strengthen us, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.